Shalom to the bride of Christ, and God bless you. It's question and answer time with Pastor Moses Alu. For every Bible question, there's a Bible answer. And it's going to be very, very, very great this evening. And your host for this program is our beloved Pastor, Brother Moses Alu. Shalom, sir.
Shalom. Good to be on air again for yet another in-depth search of the truth.
Hallelujah.
We have a lot of things we say from this ministry, and we don't want to leave anybody confused.
Amen.
Remember, what we are a product of is the restoration ministry.
Hallelujah.
It's the attempt of God to bring us back to Bible Christianity.
Amen.
And like the presenter just mentioned, we believe for every Bible question, there is a Bible answer.
Amen.
This is a program for a Bible study, general Bible study. Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
And if you actually study, then you will certainly see reason to ask some questions. And this program, I am here as a Bible teacher, not because I think I know all. Certainly, I don't know all.
Amen.
But the much I know, I will attempt to answer them and answer confidently.
Amen.
I take note of verse 16. It said, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase more unto ungodliness. I'm not here to argue with anybody. I'm only here to state it as I know it. But you can feel free, of course, to call me to correct me if you think I am wrong. But please, don't correct me by your idea. Correct me. Don't correct me even by your denominational teaching.
That's right.
But correct me by the Bible.
Amen.
And with this, I say shalom to the bride of Christ. And I say we are ready to fire on with our general Bible study. Approaching it from question and answer style. Let me put it that way.
Amen.
So, Olumide,
okay.
I am ready for you.
All right. This program is for you, our viewers at home. For every Bible question, there's a Bible answer. Sami, I have a question since we are waiting our viewers at home to call us.
Go ahead.
Okay. The revelation about the Tower of Babel. Judging from what you taught us last week, before the first caller will call in today. And I would love for you to, you know, speak on that again while we are with the first call.
The Tower of Babel, you see, one thing with the scripture is, I think that is Genesis
11.
Genesis chapter number 11. The earth being populated now.
Yes, sir.
And the whole earth, verse 1 says, was of one language and of one speech. They came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there, and they said one to another, go to, let us make brick.
Amen.
And burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men
builded.
And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, united.
That's
and
true.
They have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do.
Amen.
And what do they imagine? What did they imagine to do? They imagine to build themselves a city and a tower that will reach heaven.
Amen.
And then he said, go to, let us go down, and there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So, to me, if you look at it, science has let you know now, when you say heaven, where is heaven? It's, of course, heaven is talking about the throne of God.
That's true.
Heaven is God's dwelling place. That's how we know.
Amen.
But at the same time, too, heaven is connoting the atmosphere, you know, around the earth.
Yes, sir.
You know, the sky. There is no practical city, nothing you can build that will go up until it meets heaven.
Okay, we have a call. A caller Uche from Abuja, Brother Uche from Abuja. God bless you. Matthew 24:20. Okay. What is your question, sir?
Our
flight. Okay. Okay, sir, just pay close attention.
In Matthew 24, take note that Jesus Christ had spoken in Matthew 23 from verse 37 and spoken in other scriptures, including Luke 19. And he says, verse 37 of Matthew 23, he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often will I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye will not. Behold, your house is left unto you
desolate.
Here is empty. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth. You shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Still, if you still go to Luke, Luke chapter 21 from verse 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Desolation here is a time where the whole city will be declared empty. Everything there will be scattered. Now, if you go to chapter 19, again, Luke chapter 19, from verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hast known, this city is Jerusalem, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thy eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. So when we come to Matthew 24, where you are asking your question, Christ Jesus was now telling his own disciples, knowing this prophecy he said will come to pass, he was now telling them now in advance. He told them from verse 15, he says, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. He said, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. They said, but pray ye, that's what you are asking, that your flight be not in the winter. Neither on the Sabbath day. Now, when you then in added verse 21, for there shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. This prophecy was fulfilled when the city was invaded in AD 70.
Amen.
When General Titus, as history tells us, came with his soldiers and circled and surrounded Jerusalem for a number of periods, because there was a rebellion that was taking place there, and was appealing to them to stop the rebellion that was going on there. Remember, they were now under the Roman Empire.
That's right.
And they refused. Instead, they turned and began to fight those Roman soldiers. And Christ is telling them, telling his disciples now, that when they begin to see that city and camp round about like that,
amen,
if you are outside the city, don't come back again.
Mm.
If you're in the rooftop, don't come down. Now, verse 20, why he says, but pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. The reason is because when it is winter, you will run. There's nowhere to hide. It will be too cold.
Mm.
You have nowhere to hide. Mm-hmm. The whole place is too cold.
Mm.
Neither on the Sabbath day, because the Sabbath day, everybody will be in the city.
Mm.
So the gate will be closed.
Wow.
Because, you know, of the Sabbath law.
Yes, sir.
So he said, pray that it doesn't happen that day, even though nobody will be saved.
Mm.
And this part of this prophecy has been fulfilled already.
Amen.
So that is the meaning. Uche from Abuja. God bless you.
God bless you, Brother Uche from Abuja. You could also get Daniel 70 weeks.
Yes.
Pastor spoke about this also. Daniel 70 weeks.
The sermon.
The sermon topic, Daniel 70 weeks. Made mention of all this. God bless you.
Hello, sir.
Okay. God bless you. You're on question and answer. Sister Veronica.
That is from first part of the we said that if you wash your husband's clothes and you see any money inside and you collect for him without telling him it's a thief. And if you ask your husband money, he refuses to give you and you are in need of money, you cannot go outside and thief. And you collect your husband money, you use the thing and you still tell him that you collect so money, do something. With God, we judge you on this case. Please, I want Daddy to explain this because I commit so many sins of lying because of my marriage and need peace. I used to lie too much, and I'm feeling that I have Holy Spirit because I'm very happy. I'm the happiest person in this entire message so far from my heart too. I don't know how other people are seeing it, but I'm very happy. But I always see that if I have the Holy Ghost in me, should I be lying because I need peace for my marriage, or I should? I don't know, please. I beg, I want Daddy to explain this to me. And how will I go with this lie? It's only concerning my marriage that I used to lie more.
Okay, Sister Veronica, God bless you. This is quite interesting. You are forced to lie to your husband because if you approach him, normally he will not answer you, especially as regards, give me this, give me that. And then sometimes you have to jam money in his pocket. maybe you jam the 5,000 naira inside his pocket, you will declare 2,000 naira. the truth is, you cannot use one error to correct another one.
Wow.
We are Christians, and your husband has a nature, a character that is troublesome. You don't like. You take it to the Lord in prayer. What we do is there is wisdom for every situation. There
Amen.
Is wisdom for every problem.
Amen.
So when you ask God, this is the type of man I am married to. Father, give me wisdom to be able to live with him. You know, he will give you the wisdom.
Amen.
And so don't, you can see your conscience is affected because even your conscience telling you what you are doing is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You have to put that aside and face it the way it should be faced. Live the life as a straightforward so that when you kneel down to pray, God will answer your prayer.
Amen.
Don't lie to your husband.
Amen.
But, you know, go to the Lord in prayer and Amen. He will change him for you. And Amen. He will also give you wisdom to live with such a character. Sister Veronica,
Amen.
I hope that is clear. But if you need further, you can always call my number, okay. Personal number, and then we'll talk more. God bless you.
Okay, thank you so much, Sister Veronica from Delta State. For further counseling, you could contact the pastor directly, and I'm sure he'll be very glad to speak with
Hello.
You.
Hello.
Hello, God bless you. Okay, Sister Benedict from Abuja, God bless you.
Okay, good evening, sir.
Good evening, God bless you. You're on.
My question is taken from the book of Mark.
Mark, okay.
Chapter 13.
Mark chapter 13. Mark 13 verse 30. Okay.
The Bible says, assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place.
Amen.
He said, this generation, I think the generation he's talking about was when he was practically here on earth.
Okay.
So I don't understand what, if you can really help me concise it.
Okay, God bless you, Sister Benedict.
Sister Benedict, you have to catch the proper picture from verse 28. It says, now learn the parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So ye, in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. It is a parable. And if you listen to the message I preached recently, when I was trying to answer, get the answer, explain the answer Jesus Christ gave to his disciples in Matthew 24 and verse 3, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of that coming and the sign of the end of the world? In Matthew 24, verse 3, I looked at the sign of thy coming. And one of the signs is this parable. And that sign of the coming of the Lord for the rapture, of course, is the restoration of Israel. That fig tree you see there in this parable is Israel.
Amen.
And when you, what that parable is actually explaining is when you will see the nation of Israel come to stand as a nation.
Amen.
They were scattered after AD 70 invasion of the Roman soldiers.
Empire. Amen.
And they scattered them all over Europe and other places. They remained like that until the prophecy of Ezekiel 37, There were those dry bones in the valley.
Amen.
That prophecy was fulfilled. Amen. And a nation was given birth to in one day, according to the prophecy.
Amen.
That just in a day, where have you heard that a nation is given birth to?
Amen.
And then that nation was given birth to by the restoration of Israel back to their homeland in 1948.
Amen.
That was when they came back. And so this parable, Jesus Christ was saying that the generation that we see this fulfilled, Israel coming back to stand as a nation, that generation will not pass, but all these things that he has spoken will come to pass.
Amen.
So, and we are that generation.
Amen.
That see Israel stand as a nation, and we are the generation that will see the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God bless you, my sister from Abuja.
Sir Benedict, God bless you. You could also get the message that was preached on Sunday, the Issachar anointing, part 2. Pastor at length spoke about your question. He answered it very well.
Sunday
19th of January 2020, the Issachar anointing, part 2. He spoke very much about the scripture you just asked. God bless you. Okay, another question from Ghana. Brother Benjamin from Ghana. Shalom, Pastor. I am Brother Benjamin from Ghana. May the Lord bless you for this program. I wish you a happy birthday. My question is on the passage, Passover, Exodus chapter 12, verse 43 to 45. Please kindly help me throw more light on it for me. Is it about visitors not to take part in communion?
43 to 45?
Yes, about visitors not to partake in communion. Exodus chapter 12.
Let's see how it is put there. It says,
verse 43.
Verse 43, and the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and an hired servant shall not eat thereof. The reason is because It is meant for only the covenant children of God. And Israel, covenant children, God had covenant with Abraham, sealed with
circumcision.
So a foreigner coming, a stranger coming, is not under that
covenant.
Yes, and so also it is, because Jesus Christ is our Passover.
Amen.
According to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7.
Amen.
It says Jesus Christ is our Passover.
Amen.
Now, if he is our Passover, that is what is demonstrated by the communion.
Okay.
You know, the communion. It is for believers only. If you are not a believer of what Christ did on the cross of Calvary and demonstrated by your identification with his death, burial, and resurrection, as instituted also through the ordinance of water baptism. If you have not gone through that, before the Lord you are a stranger, before God you are a stranger, you are not to participate in communion. That is the meaning.